friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. This evening, we bring you part two of my chat with the energetic Andy Edwards about the year in world athletics. Andy crouches now and gets into the starting blocks for some insights about the top male sprinters of 2018.
You know, Sonny, any sport is in a state of constant change, and that's certainly true of men's sprinting. We no longer talk about Usain Bolt as a competitor. Of course, if he does make the news these days, it's about his latest attempt to pursue a soccer career. So in short, the field is open. You know, no matter how great, and nobody disagrees that Usain Bolt, all-time great, etc., time passes by and the field changes. So it's really heartening to see young talent coming through, such as the American Christian Coleman. He won a silver at the 100 metres in the World Championships in 2017, and he was the number one in terms of times this outdoor season. He ran 9.79. Nobody matched that for the 100. And it was interesting, I caught up with Christian when he was running in London in the European summer, and he gave an insight into what it feels like to be on the start line of that 100 metres, down on your blocks, and what goes through your head.
I'm just totally focused on me, totally focused on my lane, my blocks, just thinking in my head what I need to do to come out with the win, just totally locked in on what I need to do. So yeah, you don't look around, you don't pay attention to anybody else. You got to stay within yourself and focus.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London about the year in athletics. Andy, there's certainly a lot of young talent on the rise. Another American, Noah Lyles, ran the fastest 200 of the year, 19.65 seconds. Do you see the great Usain Bolt's world records coming under threat sometime soon?
Frankly, I don't. I think Usain Bolt's times for the 100, the 200, we're going to be looking at those in the record books for quite a few years to come. Bolt was something special. And let's not forget, he had his ups and downs when he was coming up. He was a success as a junior and world championships, but then he had major back injuries and which really threatened his running career, and he came back from that and just show what a fantastic performer he is and what he achieved, and that marriage of not only the physical talent, but I think when we go around and we look at any sport, we see people, the very top performers, yes, they have physical talent and they have to apply themselves, but there's also the mental talent for that specific task, whether you're a soccer player, a swimmer, a gymnast, or a track and field athlete. And Usain Bolt had that in abundance. I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does in future, because this sort of pursuit of the soccer career, I don't know what you reckon about it, Sonny, but I kind of think, well, it'd be a shame to be just, you're great as a sprinter, but as a soccer player, frankly, you're never going to be anything at that level, so I just wonder why you're doing it.
Right. Well, I think he is attracting probably a few more fans to an already hugely popular sport, but I kind of maybe view it as a diversion for the Lightning Bolt, Andy.
I think that's a good point. And also his sponsors. I mean, his sponsors are not going to be unhappy if he's in the public eye, whatever he's doing. But anyway, Usain Bolt as a soccer player, perhaps, I think that as a professional soccer player, I think that's not that realistic a goal. But someone whose goals are definitely realistic in track and field athletics is the South African Luvo Manyonga. This long jumper has bags of talent. He's already the African record holder, 8.65 meters. And now his target is the world record. And that is 8.95 meters, vast jump. Mike Powell of the USA against the great Carl Lewis, fellow American, cooked up a storm at the 1991 World Championships in Tokyo. And I've been covering this sport so long, Sonny, I actually was there. And I remember that was one of the greatest nights I've ever experienced of world athletics, seeing Mike Powell break the long jump world record. Well, Manyonga says an aid to breaking this world record is the fact that he's not the only kid on the block. There's the Cuban, Juan Miguel Echevarria, and he and Luvo Manyonga have a great rivalry, and Manyonga feels this will drive both of them to attack that great world mark, 8.95 meters, of Mike Powell.
Yeah, this is the time. Like, been waiting for someone to battle with to get that that world record, and I think this is the sign that there's a new kid on the block, and also is doing a good distances, and also when I needed someone to battle with to go over that 9 meter barrier.
Well, now you've got, among others, the Cuban Juan Miguel Echevarria. Is he a great incentive? He's jumping well. You are too, for this kind of rivalry.
Yes, definitely. Is I can slightly relate on the Mike Powell and Carl Lewis, but now it's like Luvo Manyonga and Juan. We're going for distances and we're not playing, you know. We compete to each other like in the highest level, you know. So I think this is the time that the world record must go down.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London about the year in athletics. Andy, a world record that went down by a big margin was in the women's steeplechase. Beatrice Chepkoech of Kenya is the new world record holder by a massive 8 seconds. How do you rate her performance?
Well, amazing, I have to say, and I try not to use words like amazing and incredible, but it is almost Usain Bolt-like in its magnitude, because Beatrice Chepkoech, she's not just appeared from nowhere. She won a silver medal at the Commonwealth Games this April. She was a favourite going into the World Championship steeplechase last year, 2017, but didn't get a medal because she missed the water jump early on in the race and had to double back. And at world level, you know, you try, however good you are, you don't make up that margin. But as you say, Sonny, knocking 8 seconds off the world record for the women's steeplechase to run 8:44.32, that is stupendous. I wonder her rivals, and it's not just African women who are good in steeplechase. We've got good Americans and others very much to the fore. When they saw that time, they must have wondered, you know, how do we get close to Beatrice Chepkoech in future? Big question will be, can she get close to that mark again when we come to the summer outdoor season of 2019?
Andy, in September, you were packing your bags for Berlin, and you really had something special to report this year. Eliud Kipchoge's world record.
I've been to Berlin a lot of times. I mean, that's not being a show-off or Aaron. It's work that takes me there. I've seen the marathon. I first saw the marathon when it was in a divided city, so only in West Berlin, in 1988, after the Seoul Olympics. This undoubtedly was the greatest achievement I've seen in Berlin. Eliud Kipchoge to take 78 seconds, 1 minute 18, off Dennis Kimetto's 2 hours, 2 minutes and 57, and Kimetto ran that on the same Berlin course. Of course, we were all aware of Eliud Kipchoge's qualities. He'd won London earlier in the season, and he was going into Berlin 2018, had lost only one of his 11 marathons. And you thought, well, 2:02.57 is the target. Can he take 10 seconds off? Can he take five? But you know, nothing is for granted. Wilson Kipsang was in the race, and he was talking a good race beforehand. But to take more than a minute off, and he was on his own for so much of the latter part of the race, that, not just physically, but mentally, so tough. Now, Eliud Kipchoge's manager is Jos Hermans from the Netherlands, himself a former world record holder as a distance runner. And their sports management team is Global Sports. Very interesting to read Jos Hermans' comments about Kipchoge during 2018 and to say that, in his view, Eliud is not a typical Kenyan in his approach. Now, you may say, well, look, Dennis Kimeto ran the world record before him. Wilson Kipsang did as well. What's the difference? And what Hermans said, he said, well, if I write an email to Eliud and we're discussing training, Eliud will write 10 pages back to me with his thoughts on training. And it's the way Eliud Kipchoge, in his interviews as well, talks about the aspect of seeing himself as very much part of a team.
In sport, you need to have a good team. That's why I'm going with the discussion about when I'm going to run is I'm going to have a full discussion with the management, with the sponsor, with the technical team, or that's the coaching team. That's part of the team whereby they really hold me in their hands.
Has it taken you time to bring that team together, you and Patrick Sang, say, because you've been a long-term partnership, you and Patrick, but to assemble a team that meets all your needs, because you talk about recovery and preparation as well?
It's not a one-day event. Of course, to get a good team and a positive team, it takes ages, but I'm lucky and we are lucky as a global sports community to be helping people who are really thinking in a positive way. And we have come a long way. That's why we're helping our teammates, that wherever we're training together and we try to think together. We have a coaching system, we have management system, we have sponsorship systems, and above all, we have the medical system whereby they handle us with massage and everything.
Andy Berlin was also another success for the coaching partnership of Eliud Kipchoge and Patrick Sang. Here's Coach Sang's assessment shortly after watching Kipchoge break the world record.
More than satisfied. I mean, the guy worked hard towards this goal that he achieved today, and we're really proud of it because it was not an easy journey. We had to sacrifice a lot. I think it's a lesson for us that when you focus on something, sacrifice and work towards it, you will achieve it.
That's Patrick Sang, the coach of Olympic marathon champion and world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for his commentary on the year in world athletics. And we'll hear more from Andy in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My VOA colleague Heather Maxwell recently returned from Togo, where she helped launch the Voice of America's new FM station, 102.3 FM, in the capital, Lomé. And let me say sporty seasonal greetings to all our Lomean listeners. Thanks for joining us on the Sunny Side. Heather joins us now with this VOA programming announcement.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from Commonwealth Games long jump champion Luvo Manyanga of South Africa earlier in the show. During my chat with the energetic Andy Edwards, this year's Commonwealth Games took place between April 4th and April 15th on Australia's Gold Coast, and Ugandan fans had reason to cheer. Uganda's Commonwealth Games team returned home after winning 6 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze at the International Sports Festival in Australia. The Ugandan athletes received a warm welcome back. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's listen in again to this report from Magumi Davis Rakawinj in the capital, Kampala.
Hundreds of fans, many from Eastern Uganda's Sebei region, where the majority of medals hail from, came to receive the athletes at Entebbe International Airport. Clad in white t-shirts and posters of the star athletes, they sang songs thanking the runners for their exploit at the 21st Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast, Australia. Philip Chebet says he spent 3 days traveling to come to Kampala and cheer up the athletes on their arrival.
We were excited. Up to now, the excitement is there. We are going to organize a mega party at home. We traveled the whole night basically to receive our people and celebrate and show the world that we are happy.
Another fan, Michael Chebet, a local leader, says he was equally pleased with the athletes' exploits. He singles out double medalist Joshua Cheptegei, who won both 10,000 and 5,000 meters races at the Games.
The number which we have left behind there is even bigger than this, and they were all ready to come, and they were very happy. They are also going to wait for this sun to come to the soil, and they will welcome in a different style.
After the airport, the medalists were driven in a motorcade in open roofed vehicles as they waved the fans who stood by the road to have a glimpse of the stars. With 6 medals, Uganda finished 15th on the medals table and was the 4th in Africa, just behind South Africa, which was 6th, Nigeria 9th, and neighbors Kenya on the 14th position. Stella Chesang won gold in 10,000 meters race. She says it was hard work that brought her and her teammates victory.
It was not easy to win, but because of just the training I have done, so it was easy. The girls, we were together in Algeria, we were also together in Commonwealth, so I was thinking they are taking. But after like 5 laps remaining, I see my brother was still strong.
Solomon Mutai also won silver in men's marathon.
It was pain, but at the end it was happiness. My plans now is to train hard so that to focus for World Championship next year and Olympic.
Besides athletics, boxer Juma Miro also won bronze at the Games.
I'm very happy because I won a medal, but that was not my goal. My goal, because I wanted a gold medal, but I got this bronze medal because of injury. But those guys were not so strong like me because I had power and I was taller than them, so I had that advantage of taking gold. But I got injury on my second fight in the first round. Okay, it's good because I'm happy. My first international. In my first international tournament, I got a medal.
It's the first time for Uganda since 1970 to win 3 gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. The 3 gold medals then came from boxing. The athletes were yesterday hosted by Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, who promised to pay each medal winner a monthly stipend ranging from $300 to $1,400 for bronze and gold medal winners, respectively. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
They're playing basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Houston Rockets exploded past the visiting Washington Wizards 136-118 with a record-setting long-distance shooting performance. The Rockets made an NBA record 26 three-point shots in the game. Reigning league most valuable player James Harden led the Rockets with 6 three-pointers and a game-high 35 points. His backcourt partner Chris Paul made his first 5 shots from behind the arc and finished with 21 points. During Wednesday's show, I mentioned to my VOA colleague Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza that the Rockets are an explosive team. And they certainly proved that at home in Houston, Texas. In Toronto, Canada, the Toronto Raptors rallied from a 17-point deficit to edge the Indiana Pacers, as we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby.
The Raptors edged the Pacers 99-96 thanks to a dramatic last 90 seconds. After Toronto fashioned a 13-2 run in the fourth, Victor Oladipo broke a 94-all tie with a minute 36 left for a 96-94 lead. With 48 seconds remaining, the Pacers were called for a backcourt violation, allowing Fred VanVleet to hit the eventual game-winning three-ball for a 97-96 lead.
It's a roller coaster of emotions and energy and effort and those ones feel good, you know, walking back to the locker room, just knowing that you probably snuck out of there with one and stole one.
Kawhi Leonard led all scorers with 28 points. Oladipo was the Pacers' top scorer. He had 20. Indiana has lost 2 straight after winning 7 in a row. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now, the Raptors beat the Pacers without 2 injured starters, guard Kyle Lowry and Congolese power forward Serge Ibaka. Another African player on the Raptors, Cameroonian forward Pascal Siakam, helped pick up the slack with 17 points and 7 rebounds. Pascal says Toronto has a deep, versatile team.
We have a lot of guys with length and that can do different things, you know, just use it. Switching and just playing harder than we did in the first half.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Bucks got another big performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo to beat the New Orleans Pelicans. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee.
The Bucks pulled away in the final 4 minutes to beat the Pelicans 123-115. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 25 points for the Bucks, who erased the Pelicans' 5-point fourth quarter lead. The Bucks used an 11-0 run to take control down the stretch. Antetokounmpo says the Bucks used energy from the bench.
Today's game was an energy game. We just had to bring out more energy than them. I think the bench did a great job, you know, coming in, giving us energy.
The Pelicans were shorthanded coming into the game, and they were further crippled when leading scorer Anthony Davis left the game for stretches with what the Pelicans were saying was an illness. Davis still finished with 27 points. Drew Holiday had 25.
Honestly, I thought we played pretty well. I think he started off carrying us and did a good job, and once he twisted his ankle, it was kind of like we had to fight back. One up at halftime, and then even with him coming back, I feel like we did very well. It was just that last 4 minutes.
It was also the bench play of Darius Miller and Jahil Okafor who helped keep the Pelicans in the game. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to 2 players on the Oklahoma City Thunder who helped their team storm past the Sacramento Kings 132-113 in California on Wednesday night. Oklahoma City's Paul George fired in 43 points. That made him the night's high scorer, and he also had 12 assists. And Oklahoma City's big center from New Zealand, Steven Adams, was Wednesday night's top rebounder in the NBA. Steven pulled down 23 rebounds to go along with his 20 points. And let's not forget Oklahoma City's Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook. That's right, Westbrook had another triple-double against the Kings, once again showing off his royal versatility. 19 points, 17 assists, and 11 rebounds. Mr. Triple-Double, Russell Westbrook. And that wraps up the December 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers from the University of Southern California have pieced together a brutal prehistoric encounter between an early shark ancestor and a flying dinosaur. By studying fossils, the researchers found that the flying creature called a pterosaur met a violent end sometime during the late Cretaceous period, 66 to 100 million years ago, when a fast and powerful shark, nicknamed a Ginsu shark, leaped out of the water and bit it in the neck. The flying pterosaur was thought to have had a wingspan of about 5.5 meters and weighed about 45 kilograms. The Ginsu shark was about 2.5 meters long, and while they are not closely related, had an appearance and behavior like today's great white shark. Gathered in the 1960s, the fossils were found in an area of the central United States that was once home to a giant waterway known as the Western Interior Seaway. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best. Yes, sir. Two-Face.
Nato C. Hey. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. This is